to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. We are continuing on here in Revelation, and Revelation 20 tells us about the millennium. And before we get there, I'm going to talk about the picture that's on the other side of your handout. This is something that happened, you probably heard about in the news, last Monday, May 14th. And that was something that had been talked about for a long time. It's been talked about for years. And that is the opening of the embassy in Jerusalem, the U.S. embassy. And what that represents is our country recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. And it's been talked about for a long time and promised, but finally it came to pass this past Monday. And there was a delegation from our country that came to that ceremony on Monday, and they had a dedication there. President Trump did not attend, but as you can see here, he sent his daughter, Ivanka, her husband, Jared Kushner, who is a Jew. He gave a televised video greeting during the dedication ceremony there at the embassy in Jerusalem. A number of other people came with them there, people including Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin, ambassador to Israel, whose name is David Friedman, U.S. ambassador to Israel, along with Deputy Secretary of State John Sullivan. And there were some others that attended as well, some congressional leaders, members of Congress that came and were a part of that ceremony. Now, a lot of people don't like that decision. There's a lot of disagreement about that. Obviously, the Palestinians don't like that. They are causing throwing a big fit and really hurting themselves as they do that, killing themselves as they do that. But our country has recognized Jerusalem as the capital. And in that picture there, of course, there's the president's daughter, Ivanka, and her husband on the right, Jared Kushner. And then you have these people on the left in the picture, and do you know who those people are? Another significant man there, that's the Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, and his wife. And she's there in the red. Of course, in my copy, it's in color, but she's in red right there. Benjamin Netanyahu was very pleased and thankful for this decision. And Netanyahu gave a speech at the dedication on Monday, and he talked about a number of different things, including some things in Hebrew that you probably won't be able to understand, but he did give the gist of it in English as well. And just to start off here tonight, I want to read you some of what he said in his speech, Benjamin Netanyahu, at the speech opening of the American Embassy in Jerusalem. Here's some of what he said. Netanyahu says, "Today, the embassy of the most powerful nation on earth, our greatest ally, the United States of America, today its embassy opened here." Then he gives some personal comments about his childhood memories of being in that particular area and the danger that there was at that time. And he says, "So for me, this spot brings back personal memories. But for our people, it evokes profound collective memories of the greatest moments we have known on this city on a hill." He says this, "In Jerusalem, Abraham passed the greatest test of faith and the right to be the father of our nation." Of course, that's talking about the command of God to offer his son Isaac. And it was on that same mount there in Jerusalem where that almost happened. He says, in Jerusalem, King David established our capital 3,000 years ago. In Jerusalem, King Solomon built our temple, which stood for many centuries. In Jerusalem, Jewish exiles from Babylon rebuilt the temple, which stood for many more centuries. In Jerusalem, the Maccabees rededicated that temple and restored Jewish sovereignty in this land. And it was here in Jerusalem some 2,000 years later that the soldiers of Israel spoke three immortal words. I can't pronounce what they are, but in Hebrew. The Temple Mount is in our hands, is what they said. Words that lifted the spirit of the entire nation. We are in Jerusalem, and we are here to stay, Netanyahu says. And then he says this to close his speech. He referred to this scripture. He said, the prophet Zechariah declared over 2,500 years ago, so said the Lord, I will return to Zion, and I will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem shall be called the city of truth. That's from Zechariah chapter 8, verse 3. Netanyahu says, may the opening of this embassy in this city spread the truth far and wide, and may the truth advance a lasting peace between Israel and all our neighbors. God bless the United States of America. God bless Jerusalem, the eternal, undivided capital of Israel. Now, Benjamin Netanyahu, to my knowledge, is not a Christian. Neither is Donald Trump. But we have here, I think, something very significant that took place, even the recognition by our country of the fact that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. And one day, Jerusalem will have a prominent place even as the capital of the world. Scripture tells us that in Zechariah again, chapter 14, verse 16, it says, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whoso will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. Jerusalem will have a very prominent place in the future, even as the capital of the world. And it seems, as we study the Bible, that the period of time that we are looking at here in Revelation chapter 20, period of time known as the millennium, it seems that that is the time when Jerusalem will have that status on the earth. And it's certainly not happening right now. But it's very interesting that Jerusalem has received that recognition even at this time. Now, in the Old Testament, we have a lot of promises that are given to Israel. Some of those have read already. Promises that sometimes when we read them, we almost think, what does this have to do with us? Promises that were given to Abraham and that were repeated to the Israelites, that were given to David and to Solomon. And those promises had to do with the land of Israel and with Jerusalem and with a leader that would rule on this earth from Jerusalem, of the Messiah. And the question is, will God ever keep those promises? Of course He will. And we come to the millennium here, and it seems that the millennium is a period of time when God will fulfill those promises, many of those promises, the Messianic King ruling on the earth, in Israel, from Jerusalem. And the promises that are given in the Old Testament, those are some of the basis for that period of time that we read about here in Revelation chapter 20. We saw last week that John began to tell us a series of scenes that he saw. And there are eight of them that seem to happen in a sequence. And that began with the second coming of Jesus Christ back in chapter 19 and verse 11. And John begins each of these scenes with the words, "I saw." And we looked at that some last week, having to do with the second coming of Jesus Christ. And then chapter 19, verse 17, another scene, "And I saw an angel." And verse 19 of chapter 19, "I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together." And so we had the second coming of Jesus Christ, this war, this battle of the nations of the earth gathered together, and the defeat of those nations by the word of the captain's mouth. He defeats the nations of the world. And then we come here to chapter 20. We have another scene that follows that that has to do with the millennium. Actually, two of these scenes here we'll look at tonight. They both have to do with this millennial period. And I think that's enough to tell us which position is the right one. You probably heard of the different views that people take about the millennium, whether the coming of Christ happens prior to the millennium, the pre-millennial position, or the amillennial position, which says that there is no millennium. And then there's the post-millennial position, which teaches that the coming of Christ happens after that millennial period. But if you just look at the sequence of those scenes here, last week we looked at the second coming, those scenes that John sees, and then they are followed by the scenes that have to do with the millennium. And I think that's a very simple explanation of which is the biblical position. That is the pre-millennial position, that the coming of Christ happens prior to the millennium. That's the sequence here in Revelation. The sequence of these scenes as they unfold is the pre-millennial position. If you remember back from chapter 1, verse 19, we saw the outline of the book of Revelation where John is told to write the things which are, the things which thou hast seen, the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. That we have that threefold outline of the book of Revelation. And that last part, the things that shall be hereafter, is the biggest part of Revelation. And that part starts in chapter 4 and goes all the way to the end. But we have actually three parts to that third division, the things which shall be hereafter. We have chapters 4 through 19, which tells about the tribulation. That's where we've been for the last however many weeks. We've been going through the tribulation all the way up through chapter 19. And now we're coming to, here in chapter 20, the second major part of that final division, the things which shall be hereafter. And that is, after the tribulation comes the millennium. And that's what chapter 20 is about. And then after that, we have that third part, which is the new heavens and the new earth, the eternal state, chapters 21 and 22. So this really is a key chapter, a critical chapter. This is another major phase in God's plan here. And so we're going to see what God's plan is for this period. And, this is a period of 1,000 years. And so I don't see how I can cover 1,000 years in one message here tonight. And so we're just going to look at the beginning of the millennium tonight, okay? The beginning of the millennium. Then next week we'll look at the end of the millennium. And so let's begin by reading these verses here. Revelation chapter 20, verse 1. "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now that's the beginning. I'm going to go ahead and read the end of the millennium too, verse 7. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. So the beginning of the millennium is what we're going to look at here. What's God's plan for the beginning of the millennium? Well, the first part is told to us in verses 1 through 3, and that is God has a plan for the restraint of Satan. Verses 1 through 3 tell us about God's plan for the restraint of Satan. Right now, of course, Satan is not restrained. The Bible tells us that he's loose. He's running around in this world. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." The devil is loose, and he's running all around. But there's coming a time at the beginning of the millennium that God will restrain Satan, lock him up, put him in prison. And I think that's part of the reason for the conditions of the millennium, as the Bible describes them. Satan is not walking around as a roaring lion. He's locked up. And God tells us here about the means of his restraint here in verse 1. God will use an angel. An angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. God has an angel that is able to take control of Satan and lock him up. On your picture there on the diagram, of course, sometimes I don't always explain these, but who's the little man? That's John. He's got an eyeball. He's seeing things, and he's telling us what he's seeing. And the little bow tie, that's the representation of the angel. Okay, the angel, notice he has a key and a chain, as the Bible tells us. And that is what this angel is going to use to lock up the devil, the serpent, the one who was there in the Garden of Eden, tempting Adam and Eve. God's going to lock him up. And sometimes people who don't believe there is a millennium, millennialists, they will look at this and say, how could Satan be locked up with a chain? Satan is a spirit. How could he be locked up with a chain? And, you know, I'm sure that God has a way to do it. He may not have a metal chain, but he certainly has a chain that will do the job on Satan and lock him up. We're told that he's going to be put in the bottomless pit. We have come across that before in the book of Revelation. Back in chapter 9, that was with the fifth trumpet judgment, and that bottomless pit was unlocked. Then, and you remember, out of that bottomless pit came locusts, and these were locusts that the world has never seen. They are going to go around and torment people. They won't be able to die, but they seem to be demonic locusts. And remember, the word translated bottomless pit here is the word abyss, the word that we get our word abyss. And I remember when Jesus dealt with the maniac of Gadara, the demons there pled with him not to send them into the abyss. That's what this place is. And that is where this angel will lock up the devil, the bottomless pit, the abyss. And we're told how long he will be restrained. Number of times here, but notice verse 2. They laid hold of the dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him, how long? 1,000 years. Verse 3, and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. So how long? The duration of the restraint here. It seems pretty clear. He's going to be restrained for 1,000 years. And yet, there's a lot of people that just can't accept that 1,000 years means 1,000 years. And people say, well, we can't know what 1,000 years means. After all, the Bible says 1,000 years is as one day, and a day as 1,000 years. And so how can we really know what that means? And, certainly time is different from God's perspective, but God is communicating things to us. He's revealing things to us. And certainly He knows how long this time is from our perspective, a time that we can relate to. And it seems to me that it will be 1,000 years. Some people say, maybe it's symbolic. Maybe 1,000 years is symbolic of something. There are some symbols in the Bible, in Revelation especially, but usually those are explained. And usually we're told this represents this, and so on. But we don't have that here. There's no reason to take it symbolically. People take it as a symbolic of the time between the first coming of Christ and the second coming of Christ. And the problem is, Satan's not bound right now. Satan is out walking around, and the Bible tells us that that's going on right now. And, it doesn't seem to be any reason to take it symbolically. Six times in this passage, we're told about 1,000 years. And it seems that God is making that point that this is how long this period of time is going to be, 1,000 years. And that's where we get the word millennium from the Latin, which means 1,000 years. So the duration of that restraint, 1,000 years. And we see the purpose of this restraint here in verse 3. And it says the purpose is that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. Satan is bound in order that he not be able to go out about deceiving the nations as he had been before. We've seen that already in the book of Revelation where Satan is used to go out and actually gather the nations of the world to Armageddon. And Satan is behind that. He's influencing that. And I think there's good reason to believe that's going on today. That Satan is actively deceiving and working with the nations of this earth for his purposes. See that we saw that back in the book of Daniel. Daniel is praying. There's a spiritual conflict that's taking place having to do with demons that are influencing world powers. We saw that. And Satan is behind that. He's trying to deceive the nations. But that will be stopped during this period of time. Satan will be bound, restrained for 1,000 years. And that's one of the reasons why the conditions of the millennium will be so wonderful. He won't be seeking to deceive the nations. So what's God's plan here for the millennium? Well, it begins with the restraint of Satan. The next part of God's plan we see, which is also at the beginning of the millennium, has to do with the reign of righteousness. There is a reign of righteousness. God has a plan for a reign of righteousness. We see that verses 4 through 6. Before we get there, the Bible tells us about this period of time in which the Messiah will rule and reign on this earth. We read these verses already. We read about Christ reigning here during this period of time. The end of verse 4, the end of verse 6. And the prophet Isaiah talks about that period of messianic rule and be a wonderful time. Seems that he writes about that in Isaiah 65, verse 20. And it says there, "There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not fulfilled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed." Verse 25 of Isaiah 65, "The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord." There's going to be transformed conditions here on this earth during that time, the period of messianic rule on this earth. But the greatest thing of all will be the spiritual knowledge and peace on this earth. Isaiah chapter 2 talks about that, verse 3. "Many people shall go and say, Come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." Christ will rule on this earth. It'll be a rule of peace. The devil won't be running around trying to mess things up. But we're also told here in Revelation 20 about the people that will reign with Christ. And Isaiah 32, it talks about people reigning with him. "Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment," it says, that period of time. But notice verse 4 says, "I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them." So we see there on your handout, notice the thrones, okay? John sees these thrones. And who are those people? Well, you know, there's good reason to think that those people could be us. The armies that come with Christ, we read about those last time. Those are the faithful. And, you know, there's a place given in the millennial period for these saints on the thrones that reign. We're not told exactly who they are, but I think they may be us, the saved, that come with Christ and that enter that millennial period. But then we're also told about another group of people that reign. Notice in verse 4, John tells us about them. He sees the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So there's another group of people that reign with Christ. And the Bible says here that these people are resurrected at this time. And they reign with Christ. And then we're told about the rest of the dead that are not resurrected at this time. When are they resurrected? Well, we'll see that at the end of chapter 20, verse 12, "I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God." And those are the wicked. There's another resurrection that takes place after the millennium, but there's one that takes place before the millennium, and that is the resurrection of the tribulation martyrs, those that were killed for their faith during the tribulation time. At this time, they are resurrected. And that resurrection belongs to a specific category, the Bible says. It's called first resurrection, verse 5. This is the first resurrection. Now you say, wait a minute. Isn't there already a resurrection that's taken place before this? Yes, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. That's the resurrection that happens at the rapture. And you say, well, you know, let's see, that's one, two, three, there's a couple resurrections here, but yet this is called first resurrection. And you know, we look at that, and it seems that that category of first resurrection in the Bible has a couple different phases. It has a phase at the rapture. It has a phase at the beginning of the millennium when the tribulation saints are resurrected. And, you know, so a couple different phases to that category of first resurrection. And then there is a second resurrection. What's that? Well, that is at the end of millennium, and that is the other category, the resurrection of the wicked. They're raised to the great white throne judgment and ultimately to eternal punishment. But a number of different phases there in that category of first resurrection. So the people that reign, we see saints that are on their thrones that seem to go right ahead and take those thrones, already perhaps with Christ. And then there's also saints that are resurrected to reign at the beginning of the millennium. So the people that reign, and then we're also told about the blessings of this reign. Verse 6, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. The people that reign with Christ enjoy special blessings. The first blessing is protection from the second death. What is the second death? We will be told what that is a number of times here, this very chapter, actually. Verse 14 says, death and hell, this is at the great white throne judgment after that, death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. The second death involves resurrection, bodily resurrection for the wicked, and then eternal torment in the lake of fire. That's the second death. And the Bible says that the saints that rule and reign with Christ, which will be us if we're saved, you if you're saved, and me, we will enjoy protection from that, eternal protection from that. That's a wonderful blessing. I trust that each one here tonight knows that they will be protected from that place of punishment. And then we'll enjoy the fellowship with the Lord. It says, they shall be priests of God and of Christ, shall reign with him 1,000 years. There'll be unbroken fellowship, unlimited access to God, to Jesus Christ. Wonderful blessing involved in the people that reign here. The privileges. We don't know all that will be involved, that will be involved with being a priest of God, but certainly it will be fellowship and access to God. So the reign of righteousness. God will reign, Christ will reign on this earth. We will reign with him. The restraint of Satan. And that's the beginning of the millennium. And then verse 7 jumps ahead to the end of the millennium. When the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth. So the millennium ends with a return of rebellion. And we won't go into that tonight here, but I just ask you the question, why? Why is it that God lets him out? Why does God let Satan out of the abyss? When he does, rebellion happens again. And hopefully we'll discuss a little bit more about how that's even possible when we come back to it next week. But it'll be a wonderful period of time on this earth, beginning with the restraint of Satan, continuing on with our reign with the Lord Jesus Christ on this earth. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for what you've planned, what you've told us about. We trust that this is true. We look forward to the time when Jerusalem will be recognized by the whole world as the place where you will rule. The Lord Jesus Christ will rule in Jerusalem. And we know that's not happening right now, but we look forward to that time, the privilege of fellowship that we'll have with you, and the blessings we'll be able to take part of in that period of time. We look forward to it. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Let's take our hymnals out.